you last week, what's the one thing that you need to do every day? What would that be for you? Waking the eggs, folding laundry, having a cup of coffee or tea, checking your emails, looking through Facebook. What would be the thing that you have to get done every day? And I wonder if you ever sort of sit back and think about what you do and ask the question, why? Why do I do this? Why do I do all these things? I wonder, have you overwhelmed with a packed agenda and a long to do list? Yep, it's not. Are you distracted by many things? And how is that actually affecting you? And most rarely, are you feeling like Martha in a passage? Anxious and troubled. I wonder if you're thinking to yourself, oh, is there a solution? Is there some way that I can stop this craziness? Do you somehow need to take back control of your life? Well, I hate to disappoint you, but if you are here wanting to hear how to take control of your life, then this sermon is not for you. Because what I'm going to say is that trying to take control of our lives and set our own agenda for the things that actually got us into this mess. See, this isn't a talk designed to persuade you to stand up to your business, but a sermon to encourage you to acknowledge that you're sinking in distraction and to call you to sit at Jesus' feet. Now, I'm hoping some people might be here who are non-Christians. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, huh, the thought of sitting at Jesus' feet, that's pretty unpleasant, maybe smelly sort of thing. Maybe similar for some Christians here are feeling that way. But I actually wonder whether the rest, and I'm sure actually, the rest that you are seeking can truly be better at His feet. So our passage today describes two sisters. Now we know that both of these sisters, they love Jesus. The stories about their sisters, Mary and Martha, are found a number of times in the Gospels. And in this story that we've got today, they each choose to express their love for Jesus in different ways. So Martha chooses to express her love by serving Jesus, showing how much she cares. Meanwhile, the other sister, Mary, she elects to sit at Jesus' feet, to delight in Him and what He has to say. And so if you're the sort that takes notes or you want to just sort of keep track of where we're at, the two things we're going to look at are Martha's choice to serve Jesus and Mary's choice to sit at His feet. So our story starts, as you saw in the Bible reading, with Jesus. He's been travelling and He comes to Martha's house. And Martha welcomes him in. She elects to demonstrate her love and devotion to Him by serving Him. And of course, this choice to serve Jesus makes a lot of sense. We all understand that warm hospitality is really important. In fact, we have received such warm hospitality from regional Queensland. But particularly culturally in that time, it's really important, especially an important house guest, and it's really not a more important house guest than Jesus, that you show warm hospitality. Not only that, but Jesus himself says that he came to serve. We know that serving is a really good thing. So I wonder if it makes sense. But on the other hand, we see down in verse 40, we're told that Martha was distracted with much serving, many preparations. She's distracted by all the things that are needed to be done when a large group comes to visit. And there's a sense in this wording here that we can see that she's actually allowing herself to be pulled away by serving. So her desire is to show Jesus love, but she's actually, you know, just focusing on the serving and what needs to be done. So I wonder if you can relate to that happening for you. Now, distractions, things that distract us from what's important, can be dangerous and even tempting. As a story I'd like to share, when I was about 15, and I was sitting up in my room and I was doing homework. Now that itself is a story because that was a rare thing. But I was doing homework or assignment or something. Something must ensue the next day. I probably was due that day. And I hear him scream. My mum's the only other person in the house. And she screams, Peter! And it's a sort of scream where it's like, poor Ben, you've got to act straight away. So I race downstairs to where she is. Yeah, she's in the laundry. And the doors, laundry doors to the outside is closed, but it's got one of those glass sort of windows in it. And she's looking through that, sort of beyond the clothes line to some rocks and whatnot, where she sees this reptile head coming out of the rocks. And so I sort of look at this, and pretty convinced actually that even though it looks like a snake, it's actually a lizard. And we've heard these lizards where I live that they're white blue tongue lizards. So sort of, you know, if you want, you can just see that the head. Anyway, this lizard is so distracted by my mum's yelling, it's just sort of freaking out looking at my mum. And meanwhile, at the corner of my eyes, I see another reptile slithering towards this lizard. It's a black snake that's caught sight of the lizard. And while we're watching, just latches onto that poor lizard. See? Distractions can be deadly. Now, to finish that story, while the snake was distracted, now this has been recorded, so I want to word this carefully, but a shovel just happened to plummet quickly towards the ground. Distractions can be deadly. But I want us to think, are you being distracted in your life with all of these things from what is actually the most important? Can you relate to that? Yeah, in our story, Martha being distracted actually has a few implications. It actually changes how she views her sister Mary. Think about it in the story. How is Martha viewing Mary? Well, she thinks that Mary is lazy. Maybe even deliberately uncaring. You can just imagine Martha, she's there in the kitchen, the pots and pans are banging, she's making all this clattering noise so that Mary will get the message how hard Martha's working in, and she will come in and join her. But she sort of gets fed up with that, and in verse 40 we see that actually Martha goes out and she goes up to Jesus and she says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve? See, Martha here is feeling alone. She's feeling isolated. And she's actually blaming Mary. Even though it's been her choice to do so. But not only does it impact how she's viewing Mary, notice in this story how actually Martha's decision to be distracted by the serving actually impacts how she views Jesus. Not surely the pots and pans are banging a little bit for his sake as well, because she wants to communicate to him, look how frantic we are working for you, Jesus. Right? She's serving him out of a desire to express love, but she's actually not feeling love by him. So the words that she says there, Lord, do you not care? Actually a cry for Jesus to notice her. To feel and express devotion towards her. It's a very similar wording there to the disciples when they're in the boat. You remember the story? There's a big storm, Jesus is asleep in the boat, and the disciples are freaking out and they're waiting for Jesus. And the words they use is, Lord, do you not care that we perish or we dream of? Very similar here. It's really a cry to say, Jesus, do you care? Do you really love us? Do you love me? How she's viewing in Jesus. Notice here then she goes on to direct Jesus as to how he needs to show her love. And what Martha wants Jesus to do is to tell Mary to help. In other words, if Jesus cared for Martha, then he will tell that good lazy sister to get in the kitchen and help prepare the fancy meal. Jesus, he responds really lovingly. He Could you two names for us? Martha? Martha. But it's also designed to grab her attention because he wants her to know that he understands what she feels. See what it says in verse 21? You are anxious and troubled about many things. Now he's not trying to make her feel bad for being anxious and troubled with you. He wants her to see that she doesn't need. Are you going to lay to this kind of? Do you try to set the agenda in your mind? And maybe with good motives, but actually it often leaves you feeling frustrated, anxious, even questioning Jesus' love. How often do you even become anxious and troubled when you're doing something which is meant to be serving Jesus in some way? What's your posture like when others around you, maybe even your church family, aren't seeming to pull their weight? Now, how is her response is the same as Martha's here? We say, Lord, you need to do something about this. You need to change them. And we come to him with a solution about how he's got to get them on board with our agenda. In response to Martha here, calls her to make a different choice, which will mean that she isn't driving the agenda, but that he is. Firstly, I consider Mary's choice. Mary has chosen to sit at Jesus' feet. You see that there in verse 31. Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, and listen to his preaching. Now, Martha suspects that Mary is sitting there to get out of work. And let's face it, who hasn't suspected their siblings of trying to do this at some stage or another? However, Jesus actually shows us that this is the better choice. It's actually really important for you to understand that this posture that Mary is taking of sitting at Jesus' feet is the posture of being a disciple. Right? So we actually see this wording a number of times in the Bible where it's talking about those who choose to be discipled by someone taking the posture of sitting at their feet. And disciple, that word disciple actually literally means learner. And so disciple would learn the teachings of the person they're being discipled by, but it was more than that in that culture. They actually learned to be imitators of them, to be like them. Right? So we see that language in the Bible. And so Mary is getting the posture of wanting to learn from Jesus, but actually learning to be more liking, more loving, caring, those sorts of things. And it's really important for us to note as well that at the time, rabbis would have disciples, but they would always be male. But Jesus here, he didn't just allow, but he actively encourages a woman to be his disciple. And we see here that Jesus clearly affirms Mary's choice of letting the servant sit at his feet. This is a wonderful reminder of Jesus being inclusive and so counterculturally of women at this point. Verse 42 actually gives us are three reasons that we would sit at Jesus' feet. There's one thing that's necessary or needed. Mary has chosen a good portion or what's better, and it will not be taken away from her. So just quickly want to work through these three reasons Jesus gives. Firstly, one thing is necessary. You and I, we need to learn Jesus. And we do this. God has given us his word. It's a light to our feet. It's a sword for the battle. It's bread for our souls. We can't do without it. It's necessary. Now, I want to try and explain why it's so necessary for us to sit at Jesus' feet and to learn him through his word. Has anyone here, I assume many of you use email, has anyone here ever had an empty let me remind you that even when you sign up to an email account, they send you a couple of messages welcoming you to their email and stuff. So even when you start, you have some email.
Yeah.
You know what happens? At least this is in Gmail, when you get to an empty inbox. One of you probably always wonder what happens. You get this little message, and it just says, "You're finished." That's the message you get. You're finished. So then you know it. But I actually find this message somewhat ironic. Because if you've never experienced what they call inbox zero, thank you for me, but it actually leaves you with a really empty sort of feeling. Because you inevitably know that you are not finished. More emails are going to come in. It's inevitable. But every time I see that, "Your finished message," it just reminds me of Jesus' words on the cross. You know what I'm talking about? Where he says, "It is finished." We sit at Jesus' feet because true rest is found in his completed work. And it's only found there. It's necessary, it's essential that we rest in this completed work of Christ. And we can rest because he works. We can lay down our private business because he laid down his body. Please hear him when he says here that coming to him and depending upon him is the one thing that is necessary. Now, the second reason he gives to sit at his feet is that it's better, the good portion of it. Now, you might agree that something is necessary, but it doesn't mean that you have to like it. So, an example might be, I think after years and years that Carly and I have convinced our children that vegetables are necessary. I'm still a bit iffy with some of them, but I think we've convinced them that actually it's what they provide, necessary nutrients for life. But that doesn't mean that our kids have to like them, does it? Right? It can be necessary, but not necessarily good. Right? But Jesus is saying here that not only is it necessary to sit at his feet, but it's good. We don't just have to put up with sitting at his feet, but that we can and we should enjoy it. His word is like some sort of superfood. Delicious and nutritious. You see, spending time with our good, our eternal King, it actually makes our petty problems, our ambitious agendas, our long to do's seem less significant. By sitting at the feet of Jesus, we grow more like you. More thoughtful, more patient. We see that our screens do not satisfy like our Savior. If you are sick and tired of feeling so dreadfully busy and overwhelmed, and you're looking for a one-point plan to help restore order to your life, then choose the proportion. Choose what's better. It's the best advice I know. Sit at his feet and listen to him. Now it's important to hear Jesus properly. Right? Let's call this passage, when he says good portion, it indicates that there's other things that we're called to do. Right? So it's not we exclusively to sit at Jesus' feet in monk-like fashion 24 hours a day. But do hear him where he says that it is good, that it is necessary. This is something we have the joy and opportunity to do. Now, the third reason he gives to sit at his feet is that it won't be taken away. So it's lasting. Now, think of those things on your to-do list. So many of the things on our to-do list are temporary. They're often mow the lawn and it grows again, we do shopping, we eat food, we go shop again, we do exercise and our fitness phase. Few things in this world are lasting. And even one who loves for eternity. So what is Jesus talking about here when he says this will not be taken away? I want to contend that it's the transformation in our hearts that will be taken away. Jesus' words, they transform us. They change us. And it's not just for this life, but it's actually for the joy that awaits us of spending eternity with him in his presence. And that's why sitting at Jesus' feet is so wonderful. It's vital for this life. It's not going to be taken away in the next. So will you choose the bad thing? The one thing that's needed. The thing that will not be taken away. Don't sink in your business and distract you. But will you take the opportunity to sit at Jesus' feet? There's three quick practical ways that I want to go through. Is that how we can sit at Jesus' feet? And you're actually doing a lot of them now. I'm gathering up Sunday with the church family to sit under the priest's word so that we'll be continually reminded that Jesus loves us, that God loves us and cares for us, that we can rest in his completed work. It's so good and wonderful. It's not something we need to do to earn his faith, but we actually gather because we know his love. That we're reminded of it as we gather. And we're reminded of one another as we gather. So seek to gather each Sunday with your church family. Secondly, I encourage you to seek to sit at Jesus' feet daily by reading his word and praying. Now, I don't want you to feel burdened when I say that I have just added another thing to your already immense pile of things you're anxious about. But please, will you listen to what our text says here? Sitting at Jesus' feet isn't an extra thing to do. It is the thing to do. So will you know, breathe, experience the sweet fragrance of Jesus through his word? Okay, now just want a quick word here to any young mothers. Okay, I know that there are some, because there were some little kids down the front here before. But I think you are in a particularly hectic and challenging, overwhelming stage of life. And it can be really, you can sort of want to meet the needs of the little ones around you. But I actually ask you to think about what they say in the aeroplanes, when the oxygen masks drop, and it's first take your own mask and breathe in the oxygen before helping others. I should say it's really important and best for your children and your family and others that you're taking little moments of time to actually be sitting at Jesus' feet yourself. So I want to give you permission. Let things run riot for a little while. It doesn't matter if you're under control or whatnot. I don't mind if you scream, whatever you want to do. It's actually vital that you're getting that oxygen. Okay, so can I encourage you with that? And thirdly, so gathering in Sunday, sitting daily. Thirdly, we can often hear a message on this passage and think that, okay, sitting at Jesus' feet, that's what we've got to do, serving is bad. Okay, I hope you didn't get that message. Okay, serving is good, but it is essential that we are sitting at Jesus' feet. But we can and we should serve Jesus with joy as those who are actually resting in his complete work. Okay, it totally changes how we view serving. Because we often believe the lie that we have to do something for Jesus to love us. But he's already shown you that he loves you by laying down his life for you. So trust that he loves you. And as one who is loved, seek to share that love with others. Seek to serve others. And I think Mary in that passage, she got that balance right. But in the passage she did serve, we're told she left the serving to sit at Jesus' feet. So can I encourage you likewise to prioritise when you get the opportunity to sit at Jesus' feet so that in everything else you do as one refreshed by his completed work on the cross. So Who is he? Who does Satan gather together with him? Who needs word of prayer and serve and want to rest in his complete authority. So let me just finish by saying, it's not wrong for you to feel tired. It's not wrong to feel overwhelmed. It's not wrong to go through seasons of complete chaos. But what is wrong? And heartbreakingly foolish, and also blatantly avoidable, is to live a life with more distractions than you want, because we have less Jesus than you need. We make your place sitting. Father, we are so thankful for our Saviour, for his completed work on the cross. That his words are true when he says that rest is found in him. When he promises that for all eternity we will be in his presence. Father, I mention I'm speaking for all of us, I'm definitely for myself when I say we are overwhelmed and busy and distracted. There's so many things clamouring for our attention, many of them quite good things, but often they're distracting us and taking us away from Jesus. Lord, forgive us as we've been distracted by many things. Lord, I pray that you would gently remind us again, and not only remind us of it being necessary to spend time with you, our Saviour, in word and prayer, but also how good it is, how you change us through it. I pray that you would give opportunity this week for everyone sitting here to spend some time sitting at Jesus' feet. I pray that you would use that time just wonderfully in our lives. I pray that it will become more and more, not just a habit, but something that we can't do without. And that would be the thing that characterizes our state today. Father, I pray that you will change us, transform us by your word, so that we will be imitators of Jesus, that we'll be more like him. And Father, I pray that you would use us and use these folks for the good of Bill Miller and Sorrell, that they might be your lives in this place. We pray this in Jesus' name.